Welcome back to Who's Talking on Sports Radio 910. This is Jim Hobgood alongside Frank Maloney. We're back and happy to welcome to the show Dr. Jody Smith of West End Orthopedic Clinic, needless to say, one of our great sponsors. Jody graduated from the University of Virginia as an undergrad, I believe, in 1990. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jody, in the UVA Med School in 1994. Since that time, he's built his practice around helping athletes and weekend warriors overcome injuries. Jody, again, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your support and that of your colleagues for the show.
Thank you for having me on, Frank. Jim, appreciate it.
Jody, right off the bat, what can you tell us about the injury that has sidelined Dominique Wallace, the talented freshman running back who's out for the year?
Dominique has what's known as a Lisfranc injury. It's not a very common injury, although you wouldn't really know that based on the University of Virginia, because we've had three running backs now in the last 4 or 5 years have the same injury. But it's an injury that can be particularly devastating and can end a season, and unfortunately, as it has for Dominique. Normally what happens is, if you can kind of imagine your foot in a flex position, like if you were, for example, a sprinter in the starting blocks, and then someone falls on your heel, and it basically the heel bone acts as a wedge, and it causes the bones of the foot to split apart. And unfortunately, it's not something that usually heals without an operation. There are a lot of professional players have had it happen over the last few years. Brian Westbrook and Dwight Freeney, Michael Strahan have had them happen. And as I said, a couple of UVA running backs, Wally Lundy and Cedric Pierman, have also had it happen over the last couple of years for Virginia.
Jody, Frank's got a follow-up. Go ahead.
I just wondered, those two injuries, I do remember that occurring to both those talented backs. How can they help him rehabilitate? What do they have to do to get him back in gear?
Normally, just surgery alone will help it heal, and it's not a joint that has a lot of motion, Frank. So basically, if you can get the ligament to heal back like it's supposed to, most people recover from it pretty well. So again, assuming that it heals much like Cedric and Wally, he should be able to come back next year and perform at the same level.
One of these days we need to ask you about Jim Hobgood's knee, but we'll do that at another time off air. But back to Virginia football players, Vic Hall's hip, Mikel Simpson's leg and ankle, although it must have been better down in Chapel Hill. It didn't seem to bother him that much. And Rashawn Jackson's knee. What's the situation from your perspective in those circumstances?
As you know, Coach Groh's not really forthcoming a lot with his injury information. But the best that I can speculate with Vic was that he had one or two injuries. He either had a severe groin strain, which is somewhat self-explanatory, or he had a hip pointer. And a hip pointer is one of those injuries that, although it doesn't seem terrible as far as looking at x-rays, it's really kind of a deep bruise of the bone of the lateral hip. It's excruciatingly uncomfortable, and it can really prevent you from doing a lot of stuff. And I think that if either of those injuries would prevent him from being able to, for example, on that field goal attempt that we had against TCU, try to get up and try to grab the ball, both of them would limit him from doing that. And so it was one of the two. He obviously has come back very well on both sides of the ball last week. The other two injuries were not quite as serious. Mikel Simpson's was an ankle foot sprain. I think it was people got a little concerned about it because people kept seeing him walking around in the boot. But most of that, I think, was mostly precautionary because he's played most games, actually every game since the beginning of the season. And I don't think that was as severe of injury as everyone was worried about. Rashawn Jackson had a sprain of his knee. He sprained nothing. From what I can gather, the MCL, which is the ligament on the inside of the knee, and that's not a ligament that normally requires surgery. It's usually people get a brace, and they rehab themselves, and he's done that well. And again, last week played extremely well.
Jody, we appreciate you taking a couple of minutes and joining us tonight and giving us the benefit of your expertise in some of these issues. Not that we want more Virginia players to suffer injuries, but we'll certainly keep you on call to the degree that we need to have some further explanation of guys that have issues as the season progresses. But again, thanks for your time, and thank you and Jim Perkins and everybody out there at West End Orthopedic Clinic for your support.
Thank you guys for all you do.
Look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you, Jody.
See you later, guys.
All right. Looking at some emails that we've gotten in the last couple hours, it looks like here's a call from Dean Smith, who's up in Northern Virginia, D.C. He said he watched a replay of the ball game, the UNC game the other night, and didn't think the offense played as poorly as some may have thought. He pointed out that the touchdown in the second quarter that was called back should have counted under normal circumstances. Unusual penalty calling a illegal lineman downfield, which, based upon the instant replays, did not look like that. Also, he asks, what is the timetable for us to master the new offense? Well, I would say that the new offense really is a hybrid now. The team goes back to the huddle conventional style. The play is either shuttled in by signal, which it seems that there are two men on the sidelines giving signals, and sometimes we also watch a player come on the field with a new package, and then Virginia comes up to the line of scrimmage with, you know, 12, 13 seconds to go on the play clock, and then Jameel Sewell looks around and scans the defense and then decides whether or not to check out of it or not.
But, I'll give the coaches credit again. After the first couple of games where admittedly the offense was not very good, and that's putting it kindly, the coaches certainly tweaked the offense, made some of the changes necessary. They had a success down in southern Mississippi. It didn't result in the win, but then got the job done against North Carolina with the victory. And the other thing, Frank, I think North Carolina has a very good defensive football team. So, it's not like the offense was failing to move the ball against a team that cannot defend. So I think that was just one of those games where both teams played very well defensively, and Virginia was able to get enough quality big plays, big moments in the game to get the job done.
Well, in a second, we're going to go to Michael Phillips, who we appreciate holding for just a second. We got another email from Bob out there in the West End, works at Capital One. He has some questions about the defensive line and thought that they did a great job at Carolina. And he asked, did I see anything different about the defensive line during the game relative to the early games of the season? And the answer is very simple. I thought the down three linemen, Conrath, Collins, and the nose tackle Jenkins, I thought that they played very well at the point of attack. Secondly, Virginia was sending a linebacker or two, or in one case, we were even sending Vic Hall, who came in as like a nickel or dime safety. Vic Hall got the first pressure in the second quarter, coming off almost up the middle of the field between the gaps between the tackles, and very impressive way to get some pressure on the quarterback. So,
well, I think that was a big factor in the game, and I think even the TV announcers made reference to the fact that Virginia was able to get pressure on the quarterback early in the football game, which kind of disrupted not only the North Carolina offensive flow, but it disrupted the confidence that they had throwing the football, and I think that made all the difference in the world.
All right, let's go to Michael Phillips. Michael, you're there.
Absolutely. I'm here. What's up, guys?
Very good. We didn't have a chance to promote you, so I'm going to take a second here and just say that we're delighted to have the new Times Dispatch sports writer covering the Cavaliers on the air with us tonight. His name is Michael Phillips. And, Michael, we're very glad to have you on the show tonight, and enjoyed meeting you down there at Chapel Hill. And what were your initial observations of the game down in Chapel Hill?
Well, I think positive signs all the way around. Certainly we knew this defense was good. Maybe we didn't know how good until they shut down, an ACC-caliber team. And certainly on offense, a lot of positives. As you mentioned, there's really another touchdown that should have been on the board if it weren't for that penalty call. So plenty of positive signs offensively. Is it enough to contend for an ACC title? Probably not. But it's a step in the right direction, that's for sure.
Michael, from the standpoint of being a beat writer, one of the challenges, and I know this from doing the radio for the team, is how do you maintain good relations with coaches, players, and yet still be somewhat credible and honest relative to how you report things?
Absolutely. It's a balancing act, and it's even more so at Virginia because Al Groh's policy is that we don't talk to the assistant coaches. At some schools, you get your football info from the different position coaches. But it speaks to two things. The one is that Al Groh is very involved in every aspect of the team. If you ask him, he's a defensive guy, but if you ask him about a specific play on offense, he'll remember it, he'll recall it, and he'll analyze it for you. So he is a sharp football mind in that regard. But the other thing it does is everything is on him. So you really you don't want to rock the boat when it comes to that. But at the same time, if the team's doing bad, you know, we'll certainly write that. And one thing, you know, I like to do and personally is that, you know, you don't just say the team is bad. You go to statistics to prove it. And there were statistics that showed this team wasn't doing very well through the first two games with the old offense. So you write that, and then certainly the team gave us an assist there by turning things around and giving us a positive note to write about.
Just to follow up, you know, Frank's going to jump in here too, but tell us a little bit about your background and how you got the assignment on the UVA beat recently.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm from Kansas originally. I'm a Kansas Jayhawks guy. I've talked to a couple of Virginia people, and they seem to remember a game out in Lawrence, Kansas, where it was about 110 degrees, which it tends to be during August, and not exactly the most hospitable place to visiting football teams in August. But
yeah, very hot in the summer and very cold in the winter, probably.
Very cold in the winter as well, and that's all right, though, because up until a couple of years ago, it was a team that was an easy win. So everybody did seem to leave happy anyway. I moved down here to work for the Washington Nationals, the baseball team, and did that for a year and then came down here to work for the Times-Dispatch. And I've kind of dabbled in a little bit of everything since I got here. Did a little Washington Redskins, plenty of high school football, Renegades, Kickers, you name it. I've kind of been all over the board, so it's nice to have a firm assignment here with the Cavs, and certainly happy to be on Who's Talking, the new program. Congrats on that, guys, and glad we got another voice here in the Richmond area.
Well, thank you. We're excited about it, and hopefully getting a little better with each passing week.
You know,
that's the key. I'll throw in there, I guess, as one side note, I'm not entirely foreign to the University of Virginia. My grandpa was a professor in the medical area of the school in radiology for several years. So
very good.
I remember coming up and seeing him and touring the grounds.
Michael, one of the things I noticed in the media room post-game, talking to Jameel Sewell and Matt Conrath and Robert Randolph and listening to Vic Hall and Mikkel Simpson, they all talked about the methodical approach that the team took in the week leading up to the game, and they all said that they were well prepared for UNC and had the right mental attitude going into this game on the road. You have talked to Jameel Sewell recently, maybe even heard a press conference today with him after the practice. What's your take on his approach? Because I sense that he's very calm, very composed, and he's not easily frustrated. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. They ended practice here at about 6:15 and chatted with Jameel for a couple of minutes before he ran off to tutoring and all those other fun things that student athletes do. But yeah, he seemed especially excited that so many pieces of the puzzle are back, and you know, not even back from injury, but just kind of back, especially in the case of Vic and Mikkel. I mean, those are players who have played in games this season, but really seem to have big-time contributions that will help take the pressure off him. And then for him personally, you know, he's coming back from a year where he didn't play football. And he admitted today that, you know, he told me what, I didn't play very well that first game, and it took me a little while to get back in the groove. I think that's understandable. Now, on the other side, Chris Cook seemed to jump right back into his 2007 form. So that was impressive to see. But I feel like Jameel's just now exploring his potential. And certainly if you got a 100-yard rushing back, running back right next to you, that's going to help things out immensely.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's switch from football just for a moment, Michael. College World Series last year, the Times-Dispatch did not send a specific reporter, and I'm sure that was a budgetary decision. But let's be optimistic and assume the Hoos go back to Omaha this spring. Would you expect to follow the team out there?
Hey, I'll tell you what. I will be in management's office kicking and screaming until that decision gets made, because, you know, there's University of Virginia, we can argue about them against Virginia Tech, but hey, those are the two things people want to read about when they open up the Times-Dispatch, and my job's going to be to make sure that the people of Richmond get all the information they could possibly want regarding that. So,
and you never know, but certainly Brian O'Connor, he's got a strong team coming back, so there's every reason to expect another outstanding baseball season this winter and spring.
Yeah, and he seems to be just the right guy for the job, too, and I was talking with him, and I'll certainly be out there for the orange and blue games that end, I believe, next Saturday's Game 6. That's when they're doing their – or next Friday's Game 6. That's when they're doing their big ring ceremony night. But fun to see fall ball and that team back out there, and certainly a little bit more pep in the step after going to the College World Series. You certainly deal with coming back now. There's that expectation of success as opposed to, wow, you know, catching everybody off guard.
Let me ask you this question, Michael. Your assessment of the UVA team heading into this big homecoming game, a chance to maybe win back some of the fans that may have gotten upset, you know, following the TCU game. What's your feeling going into this game? We've got about a minute before our next break.
No problem. I think financially, this is a big game. You know, we can sidestep around it. We can talk about other things. But when people come to football games, that's how the university makes money. And nothing brings people to the games quite like winning. You saw them taper off there, the TCU game. There weren't a lot of fans in the stands. A home win would go a long way towards restoring the fan base, bringing a big game day atmosphere back, and really helping the program out across the board.
Well, you're absolutely right, because college athletics, as opposed to when I was there, I used to tell people it was a game back in those days. It's a business now. But, Michael, we thank you so much for joining us tonight. Wish you the very best in your UVA assignment. Jim Hobgood will look forward to meeting you soon at the press box in Scott Stadium. But nevertheless, thanks again for joining us, and we wish you the very best and look forward to having you on again.
Sounds great. Congrats on the show, guys.
Thank you, Michael.
All right, we're going to go to another break at this point in time. We'll be back and talk about fall sports and wrap things up and look ahead to the Indiana game when we return.